That's a really big question.
This is Sunday Nights, The Signpost.
Hi there, thanks for joining us. This week, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull was at the G20 summit in Turkey, taking place, of course, in the shadow of events in Paris. Alongside the main G20 conference were a number of other side conferences, including one on religion. And our own Rachel Kohn was there, and she joins us on the phone from Turkey. Rachel, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's great to talk to you from gorgeous Istanbul.
So how much did events in Paris impact on the conference? And I'm not talking about the G20 conference in general. We've heard a lot about it on the news, but in the sidebar conference that you were engaged in on religion specifically.
Well, it was certainly in the minds of everyone, but so too was the attack on Ankara only a couple of weeks ago. And so the general sense that religion and that civilization is under attack was very much on the minds of the participants and the speakers. In fact, the Metropolitan Emmanuel from France was in attendance. He gave the evening address, and it was a solemn occasion. He was certainly extremely concerned, but very dignified, and spoke about how this attack on civilization by a group with no civilization was our challenge for the future, but to essentially make sure that they do not destroy civilizations that religions have founded with peace and love and cooperation at their center. But he also spoke about other things and how, you know, climate change, for example, was a point of rallying where people of religious faith in a God that has given us creation and given us our lives can work together to prevent our world from disappearing before our eyes. So there were also other topics, of course, but the general sense of fear was certainly there. And Turkish representatives and young people, too, who were in abundance here as well, were keen to not focus on the violent extremism, because essentially most people here simply regard those groups as anti-Islamic, anti-civilization, anti-human. And that came up quite a lot. So there wasn't a full-on focus on terrorism, but it was in the minds of people. It came in every now and then in comments. And in one case, Katrina Lantos-Sweat, commissioner for religious freedom in the U.S., kind of put her remarks aside and decided to address this situation full on, and really name the elephant in the room, which people were alluding to, but were not addressing full on. And she really did. And it was a sigh of relief, in a sense, that someone had finally addressed it head on and said, you know, this is our major task.
Before we get on to some of the things that might have come out of that, what the major task is and how it can be identified, what sort of representation was there at this conference? I mean, how breadth was the religious engagement?
It was astonishingly wide. It was truly amazing. I mean, there were 120 participants. Of course, there were many from Turkey, there were many from the U.S. and the U.K., but there were also people here from China, from the UAE, from South America, from France, of course, from Belgium, and Russia.
What sort of faith traditions?
Islam, of course, but also various Christian denominations, Greek Orthodox Church, Russian Orthodox Church. There was a sprinkling throughout of members from LDS, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but although they were one of the key organizers, certainly they were not dominant. And so it was a real feast. And even when you take any single country, and certainly Turkey in particular, there was simply a widespread of kind of colors of religious faith from you know, the secular end to the very strongly more conservative religious end. And it's interesting, John, you could see the that the younger people, particularly the women, were you know, taking up a more conservative at least an outward expression of Islam in their hijabs, but often in the black hijab and in the long skirt. So there were quite a few young women who were definitely marking out their territory. But others, interestingly, last night I spoke to a young woman with a hijab. Hers was a floral one, and that already signals a different sort of person. She was doing her thesis on something equivalent to women who run with the wolves, which is, and she was absolutely remarkable and interesting that she came from a conservative family. But although she wore the hijab and a long skirt, she was a very feminist thinker and was very interested in ecofeminism.
Well, what were the breadth of topics? I mean, this is an event that's taking place alongside the G20, so obviously it has to do with global concerns. The G20's principal focus is economics, but economic development in its broadest sense. How did this conference parallel that? What were the sorts of topics discussed?
There was a sprinkling of papers that were very focused on how development, economic development, is something that is enhanced by religious freedom. Basically, there was, you know, the thesis, if I can put it that way, that religious freedom enhances economic development, and that the suppression of religious freedom is correlated with low economic development. Now, this comes out of Brian Grimm's analysis for the Pew Center for Research out of Washington, D.C., in which he provided, you know, quite a lot of information about that. But it's also very much speaks to other areas of development, such as where humanitarian aid is provided for countries that we used to call developing countries or third world countries. And so there was also a lot of discussion about faith-based aid, non-faith-based aid. Catherine Marshall, for example, was here, you know, with her 30 years involvement in the World Bank and in religious for freedom and humanitarian aid. She's out of Georgetown University, the Berkeley Institute there. She spoke very more bureaucratically policy oriented about aid and about development. So in fact, there were quite a few sessions that linked those two factors, or three factors: religious freedom, economic development, and humanitarian aid.
And was any sort of, was there a platform for resolutions to come out of the conference? Or it probably wasn't that sort of conference, but at any, was there any sense you got coming away from it that there's a direction being pointed to, or a call made to the broader G20? Any sort of resolution process at the conference?
Well, there was not a formal resolution that came out of it at the end, although I overheard some discussions, and there may well be a statement to come out of it. But certainly there was another very strong theme that religious segmentation or even conflict or tension can be very much resolved or at least ameliorated, if I can put it that way, by working collectively, working together on issues of climate change. And in fact, one of the most impressive people that I spoke to was Ibrahim Özdemir, Director General of the Department of Foreign Affairs, the Ministry of National Education in Turkey. He actually, along with people from other countries, including Indonesia and Malaysia and a few other Muslim countries, have issued a global Islamic declaration on climate change. And he was very excited about this because he not only recognized, and there are quite a number of people in the conference who recognize the urgency of the environment and the environmental crisis in many of its manifestations. He was excited because he also believed that young people, young Muslim men who are drawn to the causes like ISIS and Al-Qaeda and, you know, other violent and extremist expressions of their kind of moral fervor could well direct it to working for the environment. And he has been going around internationally. In fact, he's even been to Australia a couple of times to address Muslim educational groups and youth to get them on board. He himself is a scientist and is very committed to environmentalism and environmental ethics. And so he, and this is not a young man. He is an older gentleman. And I was very impressed by the seriousness with which he and the other participants in his efforts for the Global Islamic Declaration on Climate Change have really expressed Islam in this very contemporary manner.
Rachel, you mentioned climate change. Was that a sort of continuing theme under the discussions?
Yes, indeed it was. And David Saperstein, Rabbi David Saperstein, who is the American Ambassador at Large for Religious Freedom, talked about, you know, that signal moment when the Earth was viewed from the moon and what an emotional and spiritual and transformational moment that was. And it remains a kind of symbol of our need to care for the Earth. And, of course, he also spoke about Pope Francis's encyclical and how important and how seminal it was for a religious leader of his stature to come out for the preservation of the planet as a religious imperative, as the planet that was created by God, if you are a believer, and therefore as a believer and as believers, we are called upon to preserve this wonderful creation.
Rachel Conn, speaking from the G20 side conference on religion. Rachel, thanks so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
Rachel Conn, online from Turkey, and she'll be back with us in Australia next week. This has been a podcast of Sunday Nights on ABC Local Radio. Thank you for listening.